Tops as you're running away from the incoming tsunami. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, coming live from the tsunami zone in New Zealand. It appears that a great washing has happened across the whole of New Zealand, and it comes in the form of brains. That's right, we're all a bunch of brainwashed type of people here in New Zealand today. And conveniently, there's a 7.8 quake about 700 kilometres away in the Pacific, and the Kermadec Islands, just reported this morning, less than an hour ago, and it is due to hit the coast of Auckland, where I am, in T-minus 2 minutes. So if we go off air, ladies and gentlemen, don't worry, I'll be getting that long-awaited sea bathing experience that most New Zealanders get to enjoy every day in a contamination-free nuclear sea. But unfortunately now, thanks to Fukushima, anyway, considering tsunamis, it's contaminated with radiation regardless. Tonight we have a pretty special guest for you. Moving on from the more serious news about how I might just be about to die by act of nature, we have a very special guest from VeritasShow.com, and his name is Mel Fabregas, and quite frankly, Mr. Fabregas is truly fabulous, and we want to welcome him now. Welcome, Mel.
Hello, Vinny. Thank you for having me on as a guest. I hope all is well with you. I read the news about the 7.8 magnitude earthquake, so I hope everybody's standing still.
Well, you know, we might be standing still, goodness knows for how long, but how is that different from any other day?
That's right.
I say that everything's a crisis, so that means all crisis is normal. So what are we worried about?
That's right. And you turn on the news, and it's all fear, fear. Every 30 seconds, you get desensitized all the time. So people really don't know what's going on, whether it's in New Zealand or in the United States. You're fed 30-second clips, and it's no wonder how some people don't know where we are if you have to ask where in the map we are.
Well, particularly in New Zealand, we're very lax, to tell you the truth, with alternative broadcasting really getting out there and getting in the public eye or whatever. And I don't know what role I have to play in that. I'd probably say it's one of the more significant roles in the whole country in terms of alternative media, because I bring so many of the journalists and incredible people to the New Zealand audience. Mel, I'd love you to explain to the New Zealand audience, and indeed those who may not be familiar with your show already, just who you are, how you kind of woke up to everything that's going on in the world today, with the New World Order and such. And just what your show is all about.
Well, basically, I'm a regular, an average guy. I tend to believe I'm almost like you. And many years ago, I worked for a Fortune 100 company for years, traveling around the world, working for Wall Street, and basically being part of the Matrix. Ever since I was a child, I always loved alternative topics, UFOs, paranormal, conspiracies, the occult. But having been raised Catholic, a very conservative Catholic family, Catholic school, every time I would ask a question regarding what's not mainstream to them, I would be sent to the principal's office. And later in life, in the corporate world, I realized one day I was walking the halls of a big company in St. Louis, Missouri. That was probably 1995. And the name of the company was Monsanto. It was one of my clients. And I knew then how Monsanto is responsible for manufacturing aspartame and now the GMOs. And later in life, one day I was having a dream, and the dream said, take action, take action. And I woke up in the morning and I wonder, why am I having this dream that says take action? What's up with this? I hardly watch TV. I just can't stand it anymore. The subliminal tube owned by just a few corporations, I call it the mediaopoly. But that one day I decided to turn on the TV and I saw this man. His name was Milton Torres. He was a fighter pilot who was instructed to shoot down a UFO. And I said, my God, look at this man, a PhD professor from a reputable university saying this on the air, and nobody's asking the real questions. And don't ask me how, I found his telephone number, and I called him up, and less than 10 minutes later, I was scheduling an interview. Now, bear in mind, I've never interviewed anybody in my life. I have no broadcasting experience, but I did. My wife was walking by, and I said, hey, I need to create a name because this man won't be talking to me. So she said, how about Veritas? So that's how Veritas got created, and I love all the other topics, alternative health, what's poisoning us in the air, in the food, in the air we drink, the air we breathe. So every topic under the sun I discuss because nobody's discussing the truth. And it's funny how they call it alternative media, almost as if it's something that you have to get out of the mainstream in order for you to be able to be informed. And people cringe. When you tell them, well, I do an alternative media show. What do you discuss? Well, I discuss conspiracies. I discuss the paranormal. And for some reason, everybody thinks that I'm crazy, but I'm not. You really wonder who the ones that are programmed are. And that's not to give you a very long story, that's how it started.
Yes, and just about St. Louis, George Norris from St. Louis there as well. And I was going to say, when you first started talking, I was saying, man, this guy sounds like George Norris.
Well, I'm not from St. Louis. I was just traveling at the time around the United States in St. Louis, visiting some of my former clients. But I'm actually in Tucson, Arizona. But it's funny how you say that I sound a bit like George Norris, because there are three people that I aspired to sound like. And growing up, I loved... I can't believe the name is escaping me, from the Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. Rod Serling, Art Bell, and George Norrie. So I think that's a good combination of what I sound like.
Yeah, absolutely. I tend to go on with a little bit of the John Stewart, the Bill Hicks, the Lewis Black, George Carlin type road of it. And And throw in there some basic media hacks, like there's this guy in New Zealand called John Campbell and all these other people. I don't know. I suppose I couldn't even nail it down, to tell you the truth, to a top three of people that I try to sound like. I guess I'm just kind of like this big amalgamation of all these different talk radio show hosts and all of that that I've listened to and copied an aspect or a trait here or there that I found interesting.
That's right. Whoever says, hey, be yourself, that's very important for you to keep your own style, and you obviously do. I've been listening to you for the past couple of weeks ever since this interview was scheduled, and I must say I'm very impressed. You're a very young man, and it sounds like you had a previous life, because you bring a lot of wisdom to the table, and this information you discuss and I discuss is not that prevalent. And it really makes you wonder why people, as I said before, have to escape the matrix in order to get the real information.
Well, you don't even necessarily need to escape. I mean, the vast amount of knowledge that I acquired was over basically a 6-month period while working. I would come home each day after work, and I'd go through about maybe 2 documentaries, and I did that for about 6 months. So I'll be going through about 2 documentaries a day. So I watched several hundred documentaries in a very short space of time, ranging on all these different topics. So essentially, I gained a real aggregate of process knowledge. But unfortunately, I don't have the background research detail to back up those kind of things. That's why I have experts and guests on the show, so that my assumptions and connections that I've made in my mind with this general information that I've absorbed winds up being explained in detail. What really disturbs me now is that I've become incredibly cynical. And when I tell my cynical thoughts to these experts who have research behind them, they only confirm that what I had thought was actually already going on and had been going on for a very long time and was much worse than I originally thought in the first place. And so I get slightly more cynical as time progresses. I wonder what's going to happen.
It's part of the journey. You grow up, you're an empty canvas, and you start being part of the social construct. And you mentioned the internet. Now you have the ability to go to YouTube or listen to your show or my show. At the same time, it's a minefield out there, Vinny, as you probably know. The COINTELPRO, or the intelligence apparatus, not only in the United States but worldwide, pays attention to what people like you say, to what your guests say. And if there's a forum out there, when the people start commenting on the show they listened to last night, they immediately flood. And if the information is really relevant, then they start just putting their two cents, starting to derail the information that you're bringing. And yes, if your guests are telling you that if you're cynical and the information you're bringing out is what used to be or what is actually true, it's because we are made to be cynical. Some people say, Mel, what really woke you up? And I have to say, it was 9/11. It was years after 9/11, I was still towing the party line. Oh, yes, if those terrorists came and attacked us, we need to go out there and blow them to oblivion. But it wasn't until one of my brothers sent me, 3 or 4 years after 9/11, sent me a presentation of the Pentagon and how an airplane could not have crashed there. My first thought was, how dare you accuse or imply that our well-intended government had something to do with this? And I almost stopped talking to him for a few months. But in silence, Vinny, I started looking and looking and looking at the parallels between 9/11 and the Reichstag fire in Germany. And I came to the conclusion that script continues today. 9/11 was the Reichstag fire. They had fatherland security. We have homeland security. They had the Fatherland Act, or the Enabling Act. We have the Patriot Act. That script, people think, oh, the Nazis lost the war. Yes, but they won the peace, and the script continues.
Well, I would say that they just simply changed venues. They're like, you know what? I think the Reichstag's just kind of a bit old and down. Even the new one we built is a bit crap now, considering it's being shelled by Russians. Perhaps we should move to the United States, where it's nice and where we haven't destroyed all the industry and where all the people are free and whatnot, so we can enslave them and use their power to destroy the world, just like we did before.
Unfortunately, our industry is gone. Some people say
now
yes.
It is.
Yeah, now it is. Now it is 40 years later, 50, 60 years later. That's one thing. I think World War III already happened, and not a bomb was dropped in the United States. All you need to do is go to cities that had an industrial base, and most of the manufacturing plants are empty. So everybody says, you know, we need to start buying American, at least in the United States. But nobody will buy American if he can be presented with an item that's 10 times cheaper manufactured in China. That's another issue we face in the United States with the economy. Our economy needs to change. We can no longer sustain the quantitative easings that the Fed continues to drop on us. I'm not sure if you're following that in up there in New Zealand.
Well, you know, the easing is certainly quantitative indeed, with quadrillions.
Right.
Ridiculous quantities of money. No. And in New Zealand, conveniently, we have one of those people who helped to ensure that the derivatives bubble grew, John Key, who was Merrill Lynch's appointee to the Federal Reserve Board, where he stood for 2 years in charge of their derivatives and currency trading. And this was just happened before before the massive financial crisis that swallowed up the whole world's economy. And so, you know, obviously, and was such a person in a position to destroy global economy would certainly be the right man to be the leader of this country, if you want to run it into the ground, of course. And surely enough, he is doing it at the rate of, 350, probably some ridiculous amount of millions per week. He's borrowing. He's cutting all the public spend. I mean, basically, we're going the way of Greece, where all their politicians sold them out to the international banks. And now, when the austerity measures are really starting to kick in, people are starting to riot in the streets and go crazy because the bankers are taking control of every single asset that their country has that all their forefathers' taxes built, you know, and as they should be. And I don't think that the New Zealand populace is going to stand very long idly by while they watch everything getting ripped out from under them when they can't feed their families. And nor the United States. So whatever plan these New World Order, Nazi, migrant, Mongol-type scum have got, it conceivably can't work because they're just pissing too many people off, man. I mean, you don't walk into a party trying to become the life of the party by insulting everybody and stealing all their drinks out of the fridge, do you? But that's what these people are doing. And people are figuring it out one by one. Each and every person who gets screwed over by the system in some horrific way, it opens their eyes a bit. And it makes them really, really angry. And it makes them really interested too. It makes them want to research and start websites and radio shows and get other people talking about it. You know, it's like the human race is some description of Hydra when attacked by tyranny. If you cut off somebody's head, two more rise in its place.
That's exactly right. And speaking to your producer a few weeks ago, he was mentioning an important fact that's coming very soon, the renewal of the radio licenses, not only in the United States, but around the world. And apparently this, a lot of it has been delegated to the United Nations. It really makes you wonder who will be allowed to continue in the airwaves. But yes, this is absolutely true. What's happening not only in Greece, but in Portugal, in Italy, in Spain. Many people ask me, do you think that we are going to go the way the Greeks are going? And yes, this is an
We're going to go to break. Oh, we'll see you later, ladies and gentlemen. Broadcasting live from the Stargate. Yeah, punching through into your universe from the other side of the radiated sphere known as Earth. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, live from the fabulous nuclear-free fluoride head capital of Auckland, New Zealand, in the southern slave Pacific. My very special guest, Mel from Veritas Show.com joins us back, and I mentioned the word Stargate, and apparently you've had some dude on your show talking about Stargates and like your show, and in fact I want to kind of spend this segment promoting the heck out of your show and giving out links and whatnot if we can, because you have interviewed an incredibly bunch of very, very interesting people. I presume Dr. Judy Woods included with that.
Sure.
And very interesting postulations and evidence of directed energy technologies being used on 9/11, and much, much weirder, as it turns out. Truth stranger than fiction, and you'll find out that all the films that you wind up seeing about aliens and weird underground government labs and technologies and experiments and mind control stuff, blah, 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 it's already been done. In reality, where do you think they got the ideas from? What they're doing is they're trying to condition you into accepting them as a reality, or at the very least, laughing at people who talk about them being real and saying, you've seen too many movies.
That's exactly what happens, Vinny. If I'm sure you, growing up, you watched some science fiction movies, so did I, and never in your mind you ever think that, oh, no, this is just science fiction. But then you look up at the stars and you see the billions of stars, and it's the height of arrogance to say that we're the only ones here. But yes, recently I did a show on, by the way, hello to Dr. Judy Wood, because I think it's important to mention her. We were talking about 9/11, and she was one of the ones who really, almost literally slapped me in the face, because I was towing the party line, listening to what some of the mainstream media was saying. And as you know, there's a very important quote from Lenin that says, the best way to deal with the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And when you see a lot of those researchers out there that are presented in mainstream media, it makes you wonder why people like Dr. Judy Wood is not interviewed by others. I know you've had her on. I've had her on. And other few brave people have. I like to consider all perspectives. That's why I deal with 9/11. That's why I deal with alternative health. That's why I deal with paranormal and UFOs, because that's all part of the plan. And when you go to a party and you mention UFOs, everybody looks at you, but that's just science fiction. Or that's because Hollywood is saying it. Recently, we saw the movies Stargate. I mean, a few years ago, now they have plenty of TV series out there. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I was just watching one of the Stargate TV series, just one night, I never do. And I thought, wow, look at that. That ship is going inside the sun and coming out. I don't know if you're in New Zealand, you're watching NASA and the SOHO images, but recently we've seen some objects, some of them the size of Earth, going in and out of the sun. And then when I watched that episode of Stargate, I said, wow, I wonder if this is true. And I wonder what William Henry would say about this. He's a great researcher. The next day, next morning, I was ready to fill my spot for the week. I get an email from William Henry saying, Mel, I would love to come on your show and talk about ancient Stargates. How did that happen? There are certain things in life that you cannot explain. But apparently, Stargates were placed here by the ancient ones, and he has some great research about it. If you go to a movie theater, first thing you do, or you should do, is look at the emergency exits. In case there's a fire, you know how to get out. Or perhaps the ancient ones came here, placed those Stargates around the planet. In case there's a cataclysm coming, there's a way to preserve the human race. I know, you listen to this and you think, this is all bunk, this is all science fiction. But what if it's not?
Well, you know, that's the same argument, though, that the climate changers use, you know. It's just like we should react and carbon tax everybody to death and sacrifice ourselves to save Gaia because the Earth's about to end. And even if there isn't any science, what if there is? but I understand what you mean, because there is a lot of ancient stuff that's being unearthed, even as much as recently. Some 700-foot pyramid was found in Bosnia. And you can have a look at pyramidofthesun.com, and it just looks like this pyramid-shaped hill in Bosnia. You know, it was covered over with soil and vegetation and everything over goodness knows how long. It's older than the Pyramid of Giza. And we're unearthing these things even today as we speak. So how much do we not know about our origins? And when that question I pose is mentioned, first thing that really occurs to me is the library of Alexandria. Mm-hmm. All the world's history, all the ancient tomes, scrolls, everything in the known world that was written down was put into that library in Egypt, and the Romans burned it so that we would never know our past. And that just grates me something chronic, because imagine where we'd be as a society now if we knew where we came from.
And I don't buy it for a second that the information just got wiped out in the burning of the Library of Alexandria. I tend to think that a lot of the controllers of this world, especially the Vatican, they have very, very big vaults down there, and they really almost pooped in their pants in the 1940s when the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, because a lot of the information that was there could be jeopardizing the entire business that's called the Roman Catholic religion. I hope I'm not offending people. I was a Roman Catholic for a long time, but I realized that the teachings that were supposedly were given by Jesus Christ were completely turning into a business. But speaking of guests that provide great information, I recently had Dr. Paul LaViolette on. He talks about anti-gravity. He talks about he mailed a lot of reports to NASA explaining how they could save lives in the space shuttle by electrifying the shuttle's wings and upon reentry. He did the same thing with the airlines during when the economy started going bad, to save 70% of fuel consumption for airlines. He found a way to electrify the wings. Well, he was ignored every time. During the show I did with them, we were talking about anti-gravity and how you could build an anti-gravity machine at home. Every time we would say a word like that, we would get disconnected. So we got disconnected over 25 times. So it's going to happen to you too, Vinny. You're going to strike a chord.
Well, don't worry. I mean, I have trouble paying my internet bills. I have no problem not being disconnected up to 25 times. But getting off on the side track, I wanted to tell you a knock knock joke. Knock knock.
Who's there?
The interrupting seagull.
And this interrupting seagull who?
All right. Back to the show.
By the way, you have a lot of very smart. You have a very smart audience. I'm looking at the chat room here, and they're all talking about the relevant topics: subquantum kinetics. What else? Wow, I'm impressed with your audience.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know why they listen to me. I think my audience is kind of those people who've woken up to the truth, but gotten really ticked off at it, and are looking for a way to deal with it. And they listen to, you know, radio show hosts in the morning. They get real angry and depress the living Shiite Muslim out of them. And then they listen to the Vinnie Eastwood show in the afternoon so that they can deal with it. For the lighter side of genocide. I believe that's a service that really needs to be there for everybody, because everybody needs a bit of levity amid all this chaos and freaking madness. In my opinion, I could be wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me just ask and say, let's take Fukushima, for example. Some other people call it a different name, Fukushima. But anyway, it really makes you wonder, if in 1986 we had Chernobyl, and less than a week after Chernobyl, we detected radioactive isotopes in the milk in New York City, and Fukushima keeps spewing for months now. Whoever says that this is not going to be affecting us worldwide, it's just, I remember growing up, flying. I remember how in planes you could actually smoke, and you could be sitting in the non-smoking section, and right in front of you, the next seat over was the smoking section, almost as if thinking, okay, you're not going to breathe the smoke. The same thing is happening with Fukushima, and I guess this time you're lucky because you're in the southern hemisphere, aren't you?
Yeah, but unfortunately, the entire Pacific Ocean's now contaminated. So
exactly,
we're screwed anyway. Doesn't matter. All of our food source, because New Zealand really thrives on its fisheries. Being an island nation, you'd have to expect that. But my concern is what's going to happen to the food supply of all the people in the other very extremely small Pacific islands where they don't have any land mass to grow clean food on.
Exactly. Yeah, the Pacific Islanders all the way west of Hawaii. I have to tell you, I think those in control, and I don't mean to sound conspiratorial, but all you have to do is go back to last year. I covered the BP oil spill here in the United States, and I have no doubt that was orchestrated, it was engineered. All you have to do is follow the money who benefited from that disaster. And still
Halliburton.
Right now, Halliburton, they bought a company that was known for putting out the fires in the first Iraq war, and then now
oil
here.
Fires, yeah.
Exactly, oil fires.
Yeah, they were called Boots and Coots. The Boots world's largest oil and disaster cleanup crew. And Halliburton bought them 11 days before the rig, which they were supplying the concrete reinforcements for, blew up in a spectacular 11 days!
Yes, and what happened afterwards? Actually, days before the disaster happened or was created, Tony Hayward, the CEO for BP, sold his shares of a majority of his shares of BP and paid off his mansion in Kent, England. I mean, come on. If you're a CEO of a company, would you be selling all your shares if oil is doing just fine? You have a very important career. You know, these people obviously knew what was happening.
Yep, absolutely. Didn't he sell like a third of his stock?
No, I think he sold two-thirds of his stock.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he wasn't the only BP exec to do this, so I hear. It seems entirely premeditated. And incidentally, I had reports of Blackwater, now known as Z, after they've been bought by Monsanto, after Monsanto did a big merger with Microsoft. Oh, I just love that. Private security, genetic engineering companies, and massive surveil on everything you do companies doing a big merger. I can't see any wrong in that. apparently Blackwater operatives were seen on the frickin' drill platform, and they left moments before it exploded. And I can't remember exactly where that came into it, and I can't confirm the source on that. Did you hear about that at all?
Of course I did. And not only that, but days before, Wells Fargo and some of the other big banks sold the majority of their BP holdings. You don't sell, folks, you don't sell the majority of your holdings just like that unless you have some kind of inside information. So whoever is telling you that this is just an accident, it's not. I still get every couple of weeks email from people near the Gulf talking about how some people are dying. This is totally underreported. It almost makes you feel, ever since Katrina, if they, I put they in quotes, if they're trying to get rid of the people in that area of the Gulf in order to do whatever they want to do with the Gulf oil and just not have to explain to anybody, you know, because sometimes you have people that want to build a shopping center and all of a sudden somebody says, oh, well we can't do that because there's a bird in extinction that resides in that area. So I wonder if they want to get rid of all those people in that area in order to perhaps, I don't know, make it a tourism mecca, build hotels in that area.
Yeah. And another thing is going to be great for the big oil companies is that they can also pollute as much as they want, because as long as the Gulf Coast area is evacuated, because all the communities are coming down with Corexit 9500, one of the most toxic chemicals known to man,
yes,
in their blood by the tens of thousands. And every time it rains, apparently, there's oil slicks in the street because that oil slick is still coming up out of the ground, so I hear. There's some Russian dude who was hired to go down and take a look at the seabed around the wellhead that was spewing copious quantities of oil into the Gulf. And he found out that the seabed itself had cracked in up to 19 different places and up to like 50 kilometers away. And there's oil and volcanic material still gushing out of that. A lot of people still don't know that you're 5 miles down underwater and then a further mile down under the ground beneath that. And then what they've done is they've punched through a dike, a lava tube that has gone along the base of the molten rock laterally, and beneath that, an enormous oil reserve the size of the North American continent, okay? And that is what is spewing out. The volcanic material is due to a punctured lava tube mixing with all this gargantuan supply of oil that'll keep coming out forever, conceivably. And it'll be the most contaminated place on Earth, if not already, unlike my kitchen. And we'll be right back after the break. Some more disastrous talk with Mel Fabregas from VeritasShow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming.
Welcome back.
Was a loser, now will be later to win.
To the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everyone. And my very special guest, Mel Fabregas, is just absolutely, I'm flabbergasted by Fabregas. And I'm gonna try and make as many word jokes out of your name as I can, probably, so it makes you stick in your mind if you joke about something, I find. And I find it difficult because when you've got... Where is your name from, by the way?
The name is actually Melquiades, which is Greek. It's like Melchizedek, but nobody can pronounce it, so I say Mel.
Melchizedek.
Melchizedek. Melquiades is the actual derivative. Yes.
Melquiades. Melquiades.
Melquiades. That's right.
Okay. All right, Melquiades. Have you got some tzatziki?
But if I disto very much, and I love your humor, by the way, during these chaotic times and doing the shows that we do, I joke once in a while, but, you know, I love it that you can mix the humor with these serious topics, because if we don't, then what's going to be of us? I mean, if you listen to dire news day in and day out, we were talking about the BP oil spill, folks, and you know that BP was going to be charged $4,300 per barrel spilled. And they, as you know, were millions of barrels. And in case anyone wonders, why is it that they use Corexit? And it's just to make that oil disappear and go down to the bottom of the ocean. And they would have had to pay over $20 billion. But how easy is for a company like that to just file bankruptcy, transfer their assets into something else, and, you know, keep on going? And this week alone, we've had a few spills in the United States. We had one in a big river. China just had a big one today, too. Now, what is it going to take? And if it's not the oil, it's nuclear power plants. And
they're contaminating.
Yes.
They are deliberately contaminating all the big water sources and all of that kind of stuff so that all the population worldwide will die off. I think the gloves have come off. I think the New World Order has started the global kill-off in its end game. I think that they're pushing for world government by the end of this year or something like that or whatever, man. That they really have started to contaminate everything.
Somebody from your chat room asked a very important question. Mel, what's the most mind-blowing thing you've heard? And I've heard many, many that I cannot share because I was promised not to share until, you know, eventually. But one thing that I did hear, I had the opportunity to meet with a Native American person in the United States. And I asked them, because they're very in tune with nature and the Mayan calendar and 2012. And I said, you know, what's up with this 2012? Is this real or is this just propaganda to spread fear? And he said this to me. If something happens in 2012, it's because it's created by man. That's why Bechtel, which is a company, used to be one of my clients as well, they've been building underground facilities for decades. It really makes you wonder if the trillions of dollars that have been lost in the United States were used for that purpose. But he said to me, if something happens, it's going to be because of them. And it's a great plan to thin the herd. And if you can thin the herd that way, it's all plausible deniability. If Fukushima was created, if the BP oil spill was created, if the poison in the air via chemtrails is created, years down the road, you're not going to get killed immediately. It's going to come out later in life. And then the cancers, just like the aspartame, people drinking Diet Coke and Diet Pepsi and all these soda products and MSG in your food, this stuff is not coming out immediately. It kills you later. And then guess what? You're going to go to the doctor. They say you have cancer. And these are the options. But nobody's pointing the finger at 20 years before, oh, this is what cost it. Same thing with the H1N1, the swine flu vaccine last year. Our own doctor, one of the assistants there, the son was in Iraq, came back from Iraq. He was a Marine, 23 years old, came back for a visit, went to the doctor, got the swine flu vaccine. In less than 24 hours, he was spilling, he was vomiting blood. And now he's a paraplegic. So please don't tell me there's a correlation between vaccines and all the issues that people are facing. The only difference between now and before, because the swine flu vaccine was also spread out in 1976, is that now you have absolutely no recourse to sue the pharmaceutical companies. Back then you did, not anymore. So it seems that every avenue that we have to protect ourselves is being curtailed by these controllers.
Kind of like these people are using the Book of Revelations not as prophecy, but as a playbook.
As a script. Yes.
As a script, you know, to just convince everybody who really believes in the scripture, in the script, that it's really going on. Okay. It's like a real world movie, and this is the script that is being played out. It's being done so that people, rather than intervening, noticing that it's real life, that they can make a difference and they can change the script, they sit back and just watch the movie, excited to see what happens next.
Exactly. And we go back to May 1st. It really, I hate to sound condescending, but there were hundreds of thousands of people here in the United States that were following this man, I forgot his name, the one who said that rapture was going to occur on May 1st. And one thing I did say on my show, watch it. Nothing's going to happen. And then he's going to change the date to somewhere down the road. Well, there's a great researcher out there with the name of Carl Johan Kalman who talks about the end of the Mayan calendar being in November of this year. Well, this man in the south of the United States now has adopted that date, maybe saying, well, let me just piggyback into what these alternative researchers are saying. Maybe finally I'll hit it.
Well, you know, and I think this is what's happening here. And you wanted to talk about being condescending. Some people really deserve it. Like the TSA, or they're the pedophile version of the USA. Basically, if you are a small, if you are a small child or a beautiful woman, oh boy, are you gonna share some very, very close knit encounters with these devilishly debonair agents of the TSA? All you have to do is conveniently book your flight at any US airport, and when selected for a naked body scanner, say no. And then you'll get felt up by a very, very suave officer who could take you home tonight in fisticuffs.
Sorry, I had to mute the microphone. I couldn't hold on my laughter there. But as my friend Adrian Salbucci says, if you go to the airport in the United States, you're actually entering Nazi Germany. You open the door, and the first thing is, papers, please. And then you have the x-ray machine, and then you have the pat-downs. I remember back in November, I went to L.A. to do a segment for the History Channel. And on the way back, that was the day where they were implementing the x-ray machines. Thank you, Mr. Secretary Chertoff. Because of you, we have that now. But anyway, the line was about 2 hours long. So it's a good thing that I got to the airport early. And I was looking around and looking at the people thinking, my gosh, we're like cows going to the slaughterhouse. Nobody says anything. So I could have said something, but I had to Aikido the moment. I had to remain calm and just do as they were saying. As I was approaching the x-ray machine, I didn't know that I could opt out. Well, I didn't opt out. I actually went through it. And you can actually feel the heat up and down. Then you have to turn your body. They do it again. You feel the heat. Imagine doing that every single day. When you go to the dentist or to the doctor, and they have to take an x-ray of you, what happens? Everybody leaves the room. So it really makes you wonder what happens to people that are traveling on a daily basis, all those airline employees. But, you know, I thought that if I do the x-ray, I was not going to be going through the pat-down. Well, guess what? That day, they were doing both. So I had to go through both. So Nazi Germany, it doesn't spit you out until you get to your destination and they open those automatic doors and you get to your taxi. That's when you kind of go back to regular society. But once again, our President Obama, who promised so much change, and I usually don't talk about politics during my show that much, but so much change promised. The Patriot Act has been extended. Now, I remember that he said that at the end of 2011, we would be withdrawing every single troop from Iraq. Guess what? Today, we're staying in Iraq permanently. We have the largest U.S. embassy in the world. You can fill several football stadiums. It's bigger than the United Nations, but three times the United Nations. So we can go on and on and on.
Exactly. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, by all means, don't listen to us. Just go back and vote. Change you can beg for in the street. O'Berry 2012. That'll be the ticket, ladies and gentlemen. And four more years of extremely expensive government and more New World Order swine. And don't pick anybody else. That'll be good for you. Just go to your soft kill mart, load up your little trolley full of icicle death grip pops and and Monsanto produce that has extra seeds in it that are that manifest their own aluminium resistant insecticide so that bugs won't eat it. But apparently it's safe for human consumption. It depends, of course, whether or not you call yourself human or a petri dish, because it's not good for you or tested or safe in any way, shape or form, and it's going to mutate the Shiite Muslim out of your genetic code. Haven't you ever seen all the movies about all this kind of genetic manipulation and what happens when science goes running away with itself? It's not a good movie. It's a horror movie. And unfortunately, it's also a reality documentary made by Vinnie Eastwood. And we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com.